Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back to the dialogue with Dewa De Boer on Reality Check Radio, where we discuss politics, power, and culture. You can text us your thoughts on 2057 or email your questions to inbox@realitycheck.radio. In our ongoing interviews with patriots and nationalists from countries around the world, we turn to Canada this week. Maxime Bernier joins us now. He is the founder of the People's Party of Canada and is a former foreign minister in a prior conservative government. Welcome to the show, Maxime.
Thank you very much for having me.
Could you give the listeners some more information and some background on your career, which led up to the founding of the People's Party of Canada, and perhaps some of the broader political situation that led to that as well?
Absolutely. Yes, like you just said, I was elected the first time in Canada in Parliament in 2006. Before that, I worked in the private sector in Montreal in the financial sector. So I worked 19 years in the financial sector. So I'm not a career politician, and I'm proud of that. I went into politics in 2006 to have a smaller government, more freedom, less regulations, lower taxes, and I was part of the upper conservative government. So in 2006, I was Industry Minister, and after that, Foreign Affairs Minister. And in 2006, we had a minority government in Ottawa, a conservative minority government. 2008, I was re-elected with the government. We had another minority government. And in 2011, we had a majority government, and Stephen Harper was the prime minister. And until 2015, when we had a general election in Canada and the conservative lost the government, Justin Trudeau was elected. The Liberals were elected with the leader, Justin Trudeau. And I was re-elected also in 2015 as a conservative. And after that, the party decided to do a convention to find a new leader. And so we had a leadership challenge. And in 2017, 2018, I was one of 13 candidates. And I was not the favorite to win the race in the beginning of the leadership contest, but I finished very strong with strong conservative ideas. Our platform was solid and with real conservative values, deregulation, lower taxes, more freedom. So, and that platform was very popular, but I didn't win the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada in 2018. With 49% of the vote, the leader was Andrew Scheer. He won with 51% of the vote. So from 2018 to 2019, I tried to work with Andrew Scheer as my leader. I was a conservative at that time. And, you know, we had another general election in Canada in 2019. And a couple of months before that, I had a discussion with Andrew Scheer, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada and my leader at that time. And I want him to take some of our ideas because they were very popular with the memberships of the Conservative Party of Canada. I didn't win with 49% of the vote. But Andrew Scheer in that meeting was very honest, and he told me he won't take any of my ideas because they are not popular with the general public. And his goal now is to be the Prime Minister of Canada. And he did a lot of pollings and focus group. And Canadians are not ready for real conservative ideas. So he said, you know, Maxime, we won't take any of your ideas for the next electoral platform. And actually, that's what he did also. So after that, I resigned. I said, you know, this party is only conservative in name. They're not ready to speak about real conservative policies and ideas and values. So I said that that party, the Conservative Party of Canada, is morally and intellectually corrupt. And by not speaking about real conservative ideas, they're giving credibility to the leftist narrative because, you know, they had a platform that was about the same as the one of Justin Trudeau. So in 2019, the Conservative didn't win. And we had our first election. I resigned. I created the People's Party of Canada based on the ideas and policies that I had during the leadership contest, you know, and we created the People's Party at the end of 2018 based on four principles: individual freedom, personal responsibility, and respect and fairness. And all our policies are, you know, in line with these principles. So we had our first election. We had 1.6% of the vote. And actually, you know, in a parliamentary system, it's not too bad for, you know, a young party, first election. And we had only a couple of months to be ready for that election. So, but after that, we had another election in 2021. And we almost tripled from 1.6% to 5%. So, and I was not able to be elected, but, you know, we grew our percentage of the vote. And now, you know, the People's Party is still there and we have the same ideas, the same platform. And that's why we are doing politics differently, because we don't have a new electoral platform before every election. We are doing politics based on ideas, on conviction, and we have a strong vision for this country. Our goal is to speak about it. And the more we speak about what we believe, our vision for this country, the more support we will have. And that happened, you know, from 1.6 to 5%. So at the next election in Canada will be in October 2025. So we still have a little bit more than a year to be ready for that election. And the big difference with that election that will come in 2025 and the last one that I did, and we had 5% of the vote at the last election, I was not able to participate in the national debates on, you know, in national newspaper and national television. They created a new rule for the People's Party. They said, you know, you need to have 4% of the vote. So I was not able to participate in the national debates at the last election. But and I was a little bit canceled by the mainstream media, but we were able to have 5% of the vote. So at the next one, the good news is I will participate in the national debates. We will have more visibility with mainstream media at least a couple of days before the debates, during the debates, and after the debates. So that will give us an opportunity to be out there and to expose our ideas to more Canadians. And so if we almost triple our score from 2019 to 2021, you know, if we double our score at the next election, we'll grow from 5 to 10. I don't know, but I can tell you that in the next election in October 2025, we will be ready. We will have a candidate in every riding in our country. There's 343 ridings. We will have 343 candidates all across the country. So it's going well for the People's Party. Actually, in the beginning of August, in a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks, we will have our convention, our conference in Ottawa. We'll have more than 400 people there, our candidates and our organization, and we'll be ready. Our goal is to be ready for the next election with our team, and we'll have some speakers there, and it would be also a kind of a training session for our new candidates. So this party is going very well. We have a lot of candidates and we are ready for the next election. And, you know, we'll see what will happen. But our goal is to continue to grow our percentage of the vote. And maybe at the next election, we'll have our first candidate elected.
That all sounds really positive for you. I've been involved with some minor party politics in New Zealand, and I know that it's very, very difficult. And it sounds like you have a very strong foundation. Here in New Zealand, we have an MMP system, a mixed member proportional system, where 5% of the popular vote gets you seats in parliament. But you've mentioned already that Canada has basically a first past the post system, where you need a plurality of the votes in at least a constituency to get an MP, which obviously will be affecting your ability to get a foot in the door. And being excluded by the media and being excluded from debates is always a big deal. So it's great to hear that you'll be in the next debate, and that could make a massive difference. Do you have particular parts of the country where you see a way to win seats, to get those pluralities where you have much higher level of support?
As you said, yes, in Canada, That's the first past the post, and we don't have any proportionality in our electoral system. It's a little bit more difficult for us to have a person elected. But, you know, we had 5% of the vote. We didn't have 5% of the seat in parliament. That's why, you know, it's not like you're in Europe when you have a different electoral system with more proportionality. It's easier for a new populist party to be elected. But for me, answering your question about our support, the challenge that we have is our support is all across the country. We had 5% of the vote as an average nationally, but in some provinces, like in Alberta, in Western Canada, our average there in that province was 10%. So maybe our first candidate elected will come from Alberta. I don't know. We'll look at it. But we don't have, you know, a very strong hold in a... You know, our list of candidates everywhere, but we'll put more effort in some ridings where we have more chances to elect a candidate. And I believe that in Alberta, we have very good ridings over there. Actually, one of our candidates had 22% of the vote in Manitoba, and in Alberta, another candidate had about 18% of the vote. So we'll see. We're going to work hard, but also our goal is to, you know, change the public opinion. We are a political party, but also, like I said, we don't do any survey or focus group or polling. We are not telling people what they want to hear. We are telling people what we believe is right for this country, and we don't do any polling for that. And that may take more time to be elected. But, you know, I'm looking at populist party in Europe and in the UK also. You have Nigel Farage that was elected over there after seven try. He tried seven times and he was able to be elected. And he had about five MPs elected with him. And he had 10% of the vote. So with an average of 10%, and he was able to have candidates elected. If it's the same, if we double from 5 to 10%, maybe we'll have a couple of candidates elected. I don't know, but you know, our goal is to be in parliament as soon as possible. But also our goal is to move the public opinion in the right direction. And we are doing that by always speaking about the same issues, and our platform won't change. So if you are a volunteer in Canada and you want to help us, you're welcome. But, you know, we, like I said to our people, our platform won't change. We will speak about that. And the more we speak, the more our ideas are more popular. Like a very important part of our platform is immigration. As you may know, our goal is to have fewer immigrants, ending mass immigration. I said that in 2019, 2021, and at that election, more Canadians are ready to go in that direction.
Well, this is a good time to get into some of the issues then. You've already mentioned that you've spoken out against mass migration into Canada, which brings demographic change, crime, terrorism, and increasing house prices, rapidly rising house prices that we've seen in New Zealand as well. So what are these solutions that you see to mass migration, to multiculturalism, and so on? What are you promoting as a way to fix Canada there?
Yeah, we are promoting an end to mass immigration. When I'm saying that, we need to have a moratorium on immigration. Just to let you know about the numbers here in Canada, our population grew by 3.2% from last year. And if you look at the average of the OECD countries, the Western countries, the growth of their population from last year to this year, on average, was 0.6%. For us, it was 3.2%. So we are a country with about 40 million people. And last year, our population grew by 1.2%. You know, we are the country in the Western world that is having more immigrants per capita, and it's not sustainable. And that is having an effect on the housing. For example, you know, we need to give them a roof to all these people, 1.2 million newcomers in our country. You know, 500,000 of there are permanent resident, and the other one are, you know, foreign students and foreign temporary workers. And so that's a lot of people. And that's why the price of renting and a house in our cities is going up. So the solution to that is to have a moratorium on immigration. Same thing also in our healthcare system. Actually, you know, a lot of Canadians don't have a family doctor, and the waiting list for surgeries is very long. All these people will need a doctor. They will need also services. I hope that they will be in shape. But if something happened, they will have to find a doctor and go to the hospital. And right now, you know, Canadians are waiting very long to have a healthcare service for them and a good delivery of service. It's not happening in our country right now. So the impact of mass immigration is huge. And that is why more people right now in Canada understand that, you know, all that is changing our way of life and actually also our purchasing power, because, you know, everybody is poor. With all these immigrants, our GDP is growing, but it's not growing as fast as the new population that we are having. So the economic pie is bigger, but our slice as an individual, as a Canadian, our slice of the pie is smaller. So the GDP per capita is going down. Our standard of living is going down. And, you know, people are poor. And add to that the inflation that we have in Canada. The official inflation is around 3%. But we know that the real inflation in our country is maybe around 6, 7, 8%. So people are poorer, and we need to solve that. And like you said in your question, actually, a lot of these new immigrants are coming here and they're bringing their conflicts here in Canada, and they don't integrate into our society because we have a legislation in Canada called the Multiculturalism Act. And the goal is to promote, you know, multiculturalism in our country. What the federal government is doing, the federal government is spending a lot of money to promote that. So, for example, if you're a Canadian from Chinese origin and you want to celebrate the Chinese New Year, you will be able to have a grant from the federal government. So we are telling our new immigrants, don't integrate to our society, keep your culture, and continue to celebrate your culture. The federal government will give you money for that. We will end that. We will repeal the Multiculturalism Act. That's a failure. Now, a lot of our immigrants are living in ghettos and they don't integrate. And so we need to end that. We need to repeal that act. And we want to promote, you know, our identity, our culture, our history, instead of promoting a different culture. So that's part of our platform. Repeal the Multiculturalism Act because it's a failure. Promoting our culture, our identity, our history, and also a moratorium on immigration for a couple of years until all that is fixed and until we will be able to have immigrants that will be part of our society and integrate into our society. Because if you look at the permanent residents, the immigrants that are coming, I said it's about 500,000 people last year. And you add to that the temporary one, that when they are here, they are asking to be a permanent resident after that. It's 1.2. But the 500,000 of them, you know, only 25% of them are economic immigrants. So a skilled immigrant that is coming here because a business or an entrepreneur was not able to find a Canadian for a job. 75% are dependents. So we cannot save the world, and the cost for Canadians is huge. So we need to have a moratorium on permanent residence for a couple of years, and that's part of our platform.
The statistics, the story, it's the same here in New Zealand. You could almost just transplant everything that you said from Canada over here to New Zealand. It truly is a globalized problem. And I know that both Justin Trudeau and Jacinda Ardern are both the most globalist of all of the world leaders. And we had the exact same story here when we got rid of Jacinda, thankfully. I know you're still dealing with Justin Trudeau there. Now, you said that you don't do any particular polling or focus groups, but the Conservative Party does. And so have they recently pivoted in an attempt to cut you off? Because I've seen here in New Zealand, lots of good clips on social media from Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative Party leader there. It looks to me like they sort of try to cut you off and bring a more watered down version of what you're proposing and to try and make sure that you don't have any success. That's what it looks like to me.
Yes and no. Pierre Poilievre is speaking a little bit more like a conservative, but I'm saying speaking because he doesn't have any platform. You know, if you go to the Conservative Party of Canada website, try to find their Pierre Poilievre's platforms. You won't find it. Pierre Poilievre will have a platform a couple of weeks before the election after doing pollings and focus group. Poilievre doesn't know what he believes in because he will have to wait until the election to do a poll and focus group and to have that new platform. So Poilievre is a follower, is following the public opinion. But there's a big difference with us and Poilievre and the Conservative Party. Poilievre is pro-mass immigration. Poilievre is pandering to different ethnic communities. And so nothing will change with him. And he doesn't want to take that cultural battle, you know, that cultural war that we need to do in our country. He's not speaking about the radical gender ideology. You know, it's all about the economy. And sometime he will have one sentence just to please to his base about, the radical gender ideology. But he won't do anything there. What he's speaking about is inflation, balancing the budget. It's more the economy. And if you look at the polls in Canada, you know, Trudeau won't be able to win another election. I don't know if Trudeau will be the leader of the Conservative Party in October 2025. There's a lot of pressure on him for him to resign. And there's another candidate, a big globalist, Mark Carney, that was, you know, the governor of the Bank of Canada, and is waiting there. And he tried to be very active on social media. So I don't know what Trudeau will do, but Trudeau still have a couple of months before deciding if he will stay or leave for the next election. So for Poilievre, it's easy. People are fed up with Trudeau. And, you know, they will vote against Trudeau. And if Poilievre, what I'm saying to Canadians, if Poilievre is elected, we need to be sure that the Conservative Party will act like a Conservative Party. I doubt we are the only party that can keep Pierre Poilievre honest. We can, you know, push him in the right direction. So that's why our voice is important. And that's what I'm saying to Canadians, you know. At the next election, it will be a win-win if you vote for the People's Party, because look at the polls, Trudeau won't win. And, you know, that is giving you a chance to vote for what you believe, to vote for your ideas, to vote for you, to vote against mass immigration, for a new vision for this party. And I understand that I won't be prime minister after the next election. But, you know, we can have a couple of candidates elected that will keep Poilievre honest and bring a real conservative discussion in parliament. So that's the situation today. And same thing also, you know, Poilievre, we will withdraw from the migration compact from the UN. Poilievre won't do that. We will withdraw from the Paris Accord. Poilievre won't do that. He will try to achieve the Paris Accord targets and regulate, put more regulation on businesses and farmers to fight climate change. So for us, you know, CO2 is not a pollutant. CO2 is a gas important for life. CO2 is what I'm emitting right now when I'm speaking with you. So there's no problem with CO2. Actually, we need more CO2 on this planet. If we have more CO2, the planet will be greener, and that would be great. So there's no climate alarmism. But for Poilievre and his party, they're all in that climate alarmism. So Poilievre, yes, will be a little bit better than Trudeau. But on the big issues, climate change, gender ideology, wokeism, immigration, Poilievre and Trudeau are the same. They share the same vision, the same policies almost.
Our New Zealand listeners can definitely understand what you're saying, and they've experienced it in a way, because we had Jacinda Ardern step down just before the election. They tried to swap her out with another globalist, our current Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon from the National Party. And because of our electoral system, we have a coalition government with different parties who are basically forcing him to take action on some of these issues, not all of them, but some of them, when it comes to some of the transgender ideology, some of the climate change alarmism, just a little bit. He's being pulled to the right. He's being pulled to have normal opinions. And yeah, you can really tell how our so-called conservative party is trying to push the globalist agenda. And if we didn't have another faction in parliament there to keep them honest, they would just keep going with the same agenda. And it seems like that's going to be the exact same story in Canada.
Absolutely. And that's our goal, you know, just to be that voice in parliament, that common sense voice, freedom voice, voice of reason, and you know, to speak about it. So that will help, you know, the more we are able to influence the public debate, the more, you know, we'll be able to change this country, because we know that these establishment politicians, establishment political parties, are doing politics based on polling and survey. So if we are able to move the public opinion on our side, that will have a huge influence in Canada. And that's what, yes, we try to do as a political party also. And that's why I said we have time to do that. It can take, you know, a couple of years. We created that party 6 years ago, and the next election will be in 2025. And, you know, I believe that Poilievre will be able to have a majority government. And if he has a majority government, you know, at the next election in 2029, we'll be able to be in front of Canadians and telling them, you know, you had a majority conservative government, and look, they were not able to do the bold reforms. They didn't want to do that. They were, you know, a central leftist political party. We are the alternative. So I'm saying to our candidates, we are there for the long run. And I'm very pleased that some of our candidates was with us since the beginning in 2019 at our first election, 2029. They will be with us in 2025. We have a real, you know, patriots who love their country who are with us, and we are building a good team. So we'll see what will happen. But yes, the situation is about the same. We are this new populist party that is pushing the old establishment parties in the right direction.
Now, we are almost out of our allotted time. Have you got another 10 minutes for another question or two?
Yes, absolutely.
So I didn't have a chance yet to ask about your COVID legacy in Canada, because you were quite active in the fight against COVID tyranny in the past few years. Both Canada and New Zealand were two countries with a very high level of repression. Both Jacinda and Trudeau had mandatory vaccinations, long lockdowns. And I believe you were even arrested for protesting some of Trudeau's policies.
Yes, actually, I was, before the election in 2021, the People's Party was the only national political party that was speaking against the lockdowns, against the draconian measures for more freedom, for freedom of choice. And, you know, we had also curfew in Quebec, and, we had a vaccine passport. I wasn't able to travel by plane across the country to do my job as a leader of a national party. You know, yeah, we had draconian authoritarian measures imposed on us. So I was that voice, and I traveled across the country, and I had a meeting with some of the executive of our organization in Manitoba, because we were not able to have a meeting inside. We had that meeting outside in July 2021 in a park. We were about 10 or 12 person, and I was speaking with my team and telling them what to do to be ready for the next election. And, you know, after that, I was arrested, handcuffed, and put in jail for a non-crime just after a political gathering for fighting for freedoms. And I was in jail for 12 hours. Yeah. And, you know, it's that was crazy. Like, you, I saw what your government did to you, and our government was about the same. So, yeah. And now, you know, fighting for freedom, it's not new for us, because like I said before, this party has been created on four principles. And one of them is individual freedom. You know, that's part of our DNA as a political party. So for me, being out there fighting these draconian measures and authoritarian measures was, that was not a question. You know, when that happened in March 2020, I was there fighting against that. And and now I know that these globalists and socialists have an idea maybe for a new virus. I can tell you that more Canadians would be on our side if that happened.
And did you have any alternative media that helped to step into the void as well? Here in New Zealand, Reality Check Radio, the station was founded largely because of those protests and being filling a gap that the media had left. The legacy media had refused to speak honestly about what was going on, refused to cover both sides of the story. Have the protest movements in Canada created a bigger permanent change? And we even managed to get MPs elected, or at least who supported these freedom movements as well eventually. So we were able to do quite a few positive things in New Zealand because of it. And have you also had some positive outcomes in Canada from this?
Yes, actually, you're right about that. We had a couple of independent media, Rebel News, Western Standard, True North, and they're very professional. And more Canadians now are looking to alternative media for their news. And that's good news. And that's good news for me also, because I can have an opportunity to be out there and be more visible. So actually, my campaign right now, before the election and during the next election, will be to do a lot of social media, podcasts, and YouTubers, a little bit like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing in the state, because like me, he was canceled. You know, he did fight with us against the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, and the mainstream media in U.S. canceled him. But he did a good campaign, and he's doing a good campaign with social media and YouTubers and influencers. I believe that he's about 20-23% of the vote in U.S. It's a lot for an independent. So our goal and my strategy is, yes, to be a little bit out there and traveling across the country, building the team and being ready for the next election and doing more alternative media. Absolutely.
Now, is hate speech a threat in Canada? Hate speech laws, which we were going to get in New Zealand, but they were shelved now that Labour is out of power. But I've heard that Trudeau has proceeded with this. Is it preventing people from speaking freely about a lot of the issues that we've discussed? How bad is the free speech situation in Canada?
But, you know, it is bad, but it is not as bad because, yeah, we have a legislation in front of the parliament, in parliament actually right now. And so, but that legislation is not in force. If that is coming in force, that will be, you know, a big censorship on Canadians. But we are fighting that legislation. And also the Conservative Party of Canada is doing the same thing on that. So, but freedom of speech is at risk and we need to be vigilant, and we are. And I hope that that legislation won't pass in parliament, but you never know. If that happened, we will be in a big trouble.
Now, I'd like to give you the last word here, because we've spoken about a lot of negative things that have been going on in Canada and in New Zealand. I remember just a year ago, things were looking very bleak here in New Zealand, but they have changed. Not enough, but they have changed. And so what hope do you have for Canada's future? What do you see that's positive right now? What do you see as the chances for renewal in Canada away from progressive globalism and towards more conservative nationalism?
Yeah, it will happen. That change will happen. We have to be patient. You know, it took us 2 years during the COVID hysteria to win that battle here in Canada. You know, I did a couple of rallies, and the first rally that I did in Montreal, if we were 50 people, that was the maximum. And the last rally that I did in Montreal, 40,000 people on the street. Wow. So, and that build-up ended with the Freedom Convoy, with the truckers. And so a couple of weeks after that, provincial governments change their legislation and give us more freedom. They didn't say that it was because of the Freedom Convoy, but we know it was because of all of us. So we were able to change that. It took us 2 years. And that would be the same with all these globalist and socialist policies and anti-free speech policies. We will win that battle because we are on the right side of the history. We are on the right side of the argument. And they don't want, they just try to censor us because they know that if we have a debate, we will win that debate. Everything that we are saying, it's based on science, you know, about climate change. It's all about the real science. And so that's why it is important to do that battle. And we will continue to do that. And I'm looking forward in the future. I believe that this country will be able to see our country, the country that we want, with more freedom, less government. I don't know when, but I can tell you that's why I'm in politics, because I strongly believe that we'll be able to win that battle of ideas.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Maxime Bernier, and good luck to what you're doing in Canada. And to the listeners, we will be back right after this break.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.